This podcast is sponsored by the valleygivesback.org.
For hundreds of years, we've brought you the news. For any of the info, we gave you the clues. Owners, profits, we're always sky high. Changing market now threatens our lives. Post-literation, critical reading, dumbed down nation, signs of inbreeding. TV sucking ideas from our head. Public discourse just about dead. We'll ride the dinosaur.
Hey everybody, welcome to Naval Gazing. My name is Eugene Driscoll of valleyindy.org. Before I get into this podcast episode, I just want to take a moment to read a message from our sponsor, valleygivesback.org. Love your local nonprofits and build a better community with a gift that costs you nothing today. Name a Valley nonprofit in your estate plan and create a legacy that tells future generations what mattered to you. With a planned gift, you have the power to impact the Valley forever without affecting your current lifestyle. Your action will inspire others to make a difference in their own way. Remember the Valley. Ask your accountant, financial planner, or attorney about planned giving options. Plan now. Give later. Impact tomorrow. Learn more at valleygivesback.org. So thank you, valleygivesback.org. I was a little hesitant there. I'm recording this live, by the way, because I was looking up something I wanted to mention right at the top of this podcast. I'm recording this on March 22nd, Sunday. It is 8 p.m., just about. If you go to valleyindy.org, look under Extra Extra, there's a story called Valley Community Partners Launch Valley Community COVID-19 Response and Recovery Fund. So you can give money to the Valley Community COVID-19 Response and Recovery Fund. That's on the Valley Community Foundation website. You can help the nonprofits and various groups that are being affected by what's happening in the Valley, in the state, in the region, in the country, and across the world. But this money goes it goes towards local needs. So anyway, I just wanted to mention that right off the bat. So, like I said, welcome to Naval Gazing. I haven't done one of these in a while, and I'll just ask you right off the bat, is anybody else completely overwhelmed by this learning distance learning stuff? I mispronounced it. Can I just call it homeschooling? Is that okay? It's happening in my house. I'm going to call it homeschooling. Technically, it's probably not correct. It's probably wrong jargon, but I'm going to call it homeschooling, and I am not really prepared for it. This is the first episode I've formally released in about a month. I had a few lined up with guests at the start of this month, but the interviews fell through for one reason or another. I recorded an episode and actually published it about progress in the downtown Derby redevelopment zone. It's available on iTunes if you want to check it out. It's a little bit of a lost episode, I guess, at this point because of what's happened in our country the last couple of weeks. I started posting, by the way, about COVID-19 about March 3rd with a series of links on valleyindy.org called Coronavirus Resources. I've been essentially publishing nothing but COVID-19 news and information since March 9th. Excuse me. I mention all this because on valleyindy.org right now, there is information about filing unemployment. There is information about a deadline rapidly approaching regarding health insurance enrollment for those who do not have it. There has been a mountain of information coming from the state, which is wonderful, about COVID-19, and I've been publishing them in addition to whatever I can grab off Facebook locally about Seymour, Ansonia, and Derby. That info is up there too, and my daily reporting that I'm doing in each of the towns through phone calls. Try not to leave my house, and neither should you. Everything I've written or published is being tagged at the top of every post. So if you read any COVID-19 story on valleyindy.org or press release or whatever it may be, just click the COVID-19 news and info tag at the top of that story, and you'll be taken to the page with everything I have published. Okay? Like I said, I'm recording this Sunday, March 22nd. I actually started the script 2 hours ago at 6 p.m., Right now, we're all waiting for Governor Lamont to release more information regarding what types of businesses will be open after 8 p.m. Monday and what stores or businesses will be deemed, quote, non-essential, unquote, and therefore will be closed in an effort to flatten the curve and slow the spread of the COVID-19 virus. It might have been published by the time this podcast episode is released, so I'm not going to dwell on it for too long. Sorry. Governor Lamont sent out a robocall earlier today, again, Sunday, March 22nd, reiterating the need for people to stay home and avoid large groups. This is all in an effort, like I said, to flow the number of people who contract COVID-19 and need medical attention. They want to even out that stream of people, keep the flow steady and manageable so the healthcare system does not fail. Negative stories are coming out of New York City and what's happening in hospitals there. You may have read or heard on the news. Anyway, here is Governor Lamont's call from earlier today. It's about 45 seconds or so, and I will play it now.
This is Governor Ned Lamont. I'm calling to urge you personally, stay safe, stay home. Not ordering you to stay home, I'm strongly urging you to stay home to make sure that you and your neighbors are much less likely to be infected by the highly contagious COVID-19 virus. You must head out to the grocery store, pharmacy, pick up takeout from your favorite restaurant. That's fine. I'll be taking a long walk with Andy to get some fresh air, but remember to keep your distance from passersby. 70 years or older, stay home. And for those of you who can work from home, that's best, but check with your boss first. For the latest updates, follow me on Twitter or Facebook. We will get through this crisis by working together.
Okay, that was Governor Lamont. Thank you, Governor Lamont. And as I was working on the script for this year episode, it took forever because in the middle of it, my fourth grade son had a breakdown, one of those like full-on crying, hyperventilating breakdowns because he had died in the video game Minecraft on Xbox One. He was playing survival mode, if you're in the know about Minecraft, and he lost his diamonds, which is a very rare thing to get in the game. So he is in full emotional breakdown. My wife is trying to comfort him. My son has had a cough since January. He has asthma, and this freaking cough of his will not go away. It keeps him up half the night. I could not get him into a pulmonologist because of COVID-19. He and his little sister have essentially been trading colds for 3 weeks now. So all that's happening. In addition, like many parents across the state, tomorrow I'm supposed to homeschool my son and daughter who's in first grade. And my wife is worried. And as I was typing this script, the state just confirmed the first COVID-19 case in Ansonia. So as of 10 a.m. Sunday, the information was released Sunday evening. Ansonia, 1 case, Beacon Falls, 1, Derby, 0, Oxford, 1, Seymour, 0, Shelton, 1. Shelton had 2 cases, the state reported 24 hours ago. I have no idea why the two numbers are different. I can't reach anybody at the state. But the state is slapping preliminary and subject to change all over their stuff. Just really quickly here, if you don't know, go to ct.gov/coronavirus. Since Saturday, 104 residents have tested positive, statewide total 327. More than 3,600 tests have been conducted among the state and private labs. 51 people hospitalized, 8 deaths. That number grows every day. So that's that. That's the latest there. So getting back to what I was talking about before that came in, I was talking about how Monday, tomorrow, parents across the state will be teaching their kids, or at least attempting to do so. And Google Classroom is what I'm supposed to use, probably along with a lot of you. The teachers and the superintendents in the Valley, in Connecticut and beyond, I'm sure, have accomplished nothing short of monumental here, transitioning out of the blue to distance learning, giving out Chromebooks, all the stuff that is happening, that you've been experiencing. My kids were given work last week, and I'll be honest with you, my wife and I have been completely overwhelmed by it. I'm watching these school districts undergo the local version of a wartime mobilization effort, you know, distributing meals to kids, 300 a day in Derby, constant online communication to staff, disinfecting buildings, getting Chromebooks out, like I mentioned, holding public board meetings online fairly easily, and all these crash courses in Google Classroom. So, you know, meanwhile, my wife and I were both, probably like a lot of you, still trying to work our day jobs. Like a lot of you, we're worried about employment going forward, given what's happening in the country. My wife specifically, she doesn't know if she's going to have a job at the end of this. I'm at the end of the year. I don't know if I have a job. That's nothing new. So this is all very unsettling. And I got a fourth grader who thinks this is the end of the world. He doesn't want to go outside. He already had that chronic cough that I've mentioned that keeps him up to 2 a.m. every night. He's drained, you know, emotionally and physically. My first grade daughter, she's having these random crying jigs, but hers are a little more amusing. We had to cancel her birthday party, which was her birthday's March 26th. So, you know, that didn't go over well. So she's literally running around crying and screaming, coronavirus ruined all my fun. Coronavirus ruined all my fun. So she's very angry. She thinks in her mind, the coronavirus is a thing walking around outside like an invisible, like the boogeyman. So, you know, my school PTA, meanwhile, my kids' school PTA, they're posting on Facebook about doing Spirit Week as we're homeschooling. You know, from home, you dress as a superhero on Monday to honor first responders. And I'm just like, I don't know how to teach my kids math. I didn't pass math myself growing up. Like, I have to do my job. This is crazy. Which is why it was so refreshing last week during a virtual meeting of the Derby Board of Education to hear board members Janine Netto and Tara Hyder put into words what I was feeling. I'm going to play a series of clips from last week's Derby School Board meeting, which was conducted using Zoom, by the way. I've used that service now 3 times. Thanks, COVID-19. So just be clear, the clips are out of context. I'm literally playing sound bites here, so you're getting a snippet of a much larger, longer conversation. Just please keep that in mind. And it might sound, based on the quick clips that I'm playing, that they're arguing, the board members, or challenging Dr. Matthew Conway, the school superintendent. I can assure you that's not the case. This was just a conversation. Almost as if like the cameras, they didn't know the cameras was on, sort of, were on. So it was just people talking about what's confronting them. It's a conversation about distance learning, and the district certainly sounds like they're up to the challenge. But I found Netto's comments and Hyder's comments comforting. And I'm playing them because maybe you're a parent. Maybe you will too. I don't know. So first up is Janine Netto. And I don't remember exactly what she says here. So let's listen together, assuming I press the right button.
Can I piggyback on that? Sure. I think at this time, though, and I know we're all thinking it, but to continue to grade them at the same standard as we have.
Okay, so the actual conversation is about grading. Do you do pass, fail? Do you grade them the same as if they were in class? But that's sort of beside the point. Just what she's feeling, what she talks about here, I identify with.
I've been, when they're going through a time right now that they're adjusting, not only to be educated, but socially they're adjusting. They've got to be scared. There's a lot going on. So I do have my great concerns about the pressure that we're adding with all of this straight out the box. So that's just my 2 cents. You know, I'm sitting in a house and I've got basically all the grades covered across the board. And in all honesty, I haven't had my kids look at one thing yet because they needed some time to, you know, take in what's going on around them. And I'm worried about the kids that don't have the support at home from parents, that we're going to put all of this on them, this new way of learning. We're going to grade them the same. And on top of it, for some of them, it feels like the world's falling apart around them. So I do have my concern about keeping that grading standard the same.
Yeah, and as I play it again, I apologize. But yeah, the kids are concerned that the world is falling apart around them. That's sort of been the vibe in my house, and trying to reassure kids. I can't say I've always done a good job, and you know, keeping away from cable news is probably a good idea for everyone. I don't know what you're. I know it's like political nowadays, which is ridiculous to even mention what news you consume, but I don't watch cable news, especially when something like this is happening. I'll read the New York Times, but it's a little too real life horror for me. I'll read the Washington Post, and then locally CT Mirror, CT News Junkie. Connecticut Post. But anyway, I'm totally going off on a tangent. So that was Jeanine Netto. I thought she said what I needed to hear at that particular moment. Maybe you did too. I'm sorry I'm making this is about me, but I'm in a basement in my house alone. So that's that. Then next, Jim Gilday, going off Netto's comments, talks about, well, yeah, what about, I mean, I think the poverty rate in Derby is something like 13 or 14%. There's a lot of parents that, you know, they're working two jobs. I don't, you know, are they, I guess we'll find out whether they're going to be home Monday at 8 p.m. with the governor's new order. But Gilday's asking, well, what about kids who don't have that support to Dr. Conway? What are we doing? How do we reel these kids in if they don't have the support at home or mom and dad or, you know, sitting there with a laptop next to him. So here's that conversation right now.
And again, I realize kids aren't coming to school, but what type of resources can we provide? Listen, because a fair amount of us and engaged parents are certainly going to make sure that their kids are on board and they're going to make sure their kids are doing their assignments. What level of support can we provide to the students who may not have that level of engagement at home and students who are not going to participate and are not going to learn?
So, So it's going to start with daily phone calls home to every house, talking to a parent to find out what type of support that they do need. And then as best we can, through social distancing, provide those supports to those parents and to those kids. But daily phone calls are going to be made to each of the households, the kids that are not online interacting every day.
So you heard it there. That was Dr. Conway talking about how they'll track down the kids, even though we're practicing social distancing. They will still use the telephone to try to get families that maybe their kids aren't signing on. So we have that happening. One more clip. This is Tara Hyder, school board member. She's also a teacher. So she brought a perspective to the table that I certainly had not considered, but I mean, she's in this situation. She talked about this at length and I'm not playing all the clips, but she talked about how, you know, teachers are getting up. They're in the same situation that I'm in where they, you know, they have to do their work and their kids want a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or their kids need help with their homework themselves. So anyway, here is Tara Hyder.
Work, how that will work for folks.
I do just have one more concern, and it's basically, this is Tara, basically a general concern across all grade levels.
Now, since it's Zoom, anybody who deals with audio online, you know that sound. Nothing's perfect.
That I wouldn't want to try to mimic the hours in a school day at home. Parents at home, hopefully they're home, they're working in a lot of cases, and they can't support the kids the way that a teacher or a paraprofessional can support the kids. So expect them to do 60 minutes of every subject area, especially when, at least in the middle school, they don't do 60 minutes for each subject area during a regular school day. To do that at home at a kitchen table while mom and dad are in the office working on a computer is, I think, a lot to ask. So I just want to be realistic and take manageable bites and think about what the kids need, the support that the teachers need, and the support that just families need from a humane perspective. We need to just keep it real and humane for people.
Are there any?
Yeah, and okay, yeah, I'm a reporter. I'm supposed to be unbiased. Man, I needed to hear that as well. Manageable bites. So if you're a parent like me and you're freaking out about having a teacher kids in the middle of a global pandemic. We're not even talking about what if the kid gets sick or what are the a lot to consider here. So, but manageable bites, and I guess we'll get through it. I set up a classroom that we have this bedroom downstairs. It was a bedroom when we first moved in, and then it became a computer room. Then we got a cat, and it became the cat's room, right? Because you got to, like, give the cat its own space, right, when you first get a little kitten. We got a kitten on December 24th, 2019. But now there's two desks next to each other. I got an 11-year-old iMac that I just updated with Yosemite, and hopefully it works, and a PC next to it, and the kids are ready to go. I even got a little station where I have, like, crayons and an Atlas, and also randomly a map from GTA 5. But anyway, wrapping this all up is the general, right? Because now that's what superintendents are. They're mobilizing resources and motivating people now across the state of Connecticut and beyond, of course. But here's Dr. Conway. And basically the question was, again, this is out of context, but the question he's answering, Ken Marcuccio, a school board member, longtime and a Derby resident, asked him, well, what advice are we getting from the state? And Conway is like, we're all flying by the seat of our pants, talking to each other, doing the best we can. So to close it out, here is Derby School Superintendent Dr. Matthew Conway. And I didn't press the button.
From each other, with each other, and across, you know, not just Connecticut, but other states who all districts are struggling with these exact same questions, and they're all great questions, and we just don't have answers to them yet. And I think we're going to find the answers as we move forward. But again, this is a complete shift in how we provide learning. So if you think of even in a company, if you were making something one way one day, and literally the next day you had to begin making it an entirely different way, but make the same product a completely different way on things, on machines nobody had ever used before, it would be a difficult lift. There'd be a lot of questions. We have to do it at a pace where people are learning, feel confident, feel supported, not frustrated and have anxiety, but feeling supported, feeling confident each day, more confident, excited, so that excitement comes out in their teaching and transfers to the learning. But it's going to take a while. This is not overnight. We're going to try things that won't work. And
this has not been done anyway.
Okay, so that was, like I said, Dr. Matthew Conway, a Derby school superintendent. And, you know, as of this recording, unless I'm checking my email right now, I don't have a new message from the governor's office about what's going on with essential and non-essential. Schools are out the rest of the month, the rest of March. We'll see what happens from there. So this is Eugene Driscoll. I just want to thank everyone who's read the Valley Indy over the past 2 weeks. I hope it's been useful. Let me know. And the Facebook page, thanks for all the comments. Hopefully I haven't lost my temper as I sometimes tend to do. hey, come on, dealing with comments all the time can be a lot when there's so much going on. But that's it. Be safe, be well, and thank you very much for listening.
For hundreds of years we've brought you the news. Printed the info, we gave you the clues. Owners' profits were always sky high. Changing market now threatens our lives. Post-literation, critical reading, dumbed down nation.